Well, Kyle, this afternoon, the Marlins play the first of three on their annual visit to Wrigley Field, always one of the most anticipated stops of the year. Last season, the Cubs celebrated the 100th anniversary of this ballpark, and this year, they rolled out the first wave of long-anticipated Wrigley Field improvements, part of a five-year plan to renovate their longtime home. Phase one, which we're getting our first look at today, includes structural work throughout the park, the expansion and restoration of the famed Wrigley Field outfield bleachers, the addition of two new video boards, new concessions and restroom facilities, and new outfield signage that's going to help pay for all of this. In the years ahead, there'll be a new retail and entertainment complex constructed adjacent to the park, as well as new clubhouses and eventually even a new press box. But at its heart, it'll always be Wrigley Field. So once again this year, here it is, my quick primer on the history of the second oldest ballpark in Major League Baseball. Long before Harry Carey got here, Wrigley Field opened on the grounds of an old seminary in 1914, 2 years after Fenway Park in Boston. It was known as Wiegman Park then, and for the first 2 years, it was home not to the National League's Cubs, but to Chicago's Federal League ball club, known both as the Federals and the Whales. In 2009, we saw the opening of a $1.3 billion stadium, the new Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. But this park, which originally held 14,000, was built for just $250,000. 2 years after it opened, in 1916, it became home to the Cubs after the Federal League folded. Wiegman Park became Cubs Park in 1920, and in 1926, it was renamed Wrigley Field in honor of William Wrigley Jr., the club's owner. Over the years, Wrigley's played host to historic moments like Babe Ruth's called shot in Game 3 of the 1932 World Series. Gabby Hartnett hit his famous homer in the Gloman here in 1938. In 1945, the Cubs hosted their last World Series here. Marlins made sure of that when they beat the Cubs in the 2003 NLCS, wrapping the series up in a seventh game here at Wrigley, and who'll ever forget Game 6, the famous Bartman game. Other milestone moments here at Wrigley over the last century include Mr. Cub Ernie Banks hitting his 500th home run here in 1970. Pete Rose banged his record-tying 4,191st career hit here in 1985. Kerry Wood struck out 20 Houston Astros at Wrigley in 1988. Sammy Sosa had 360 homer seasons in 1998, 1999, and 2001. And Tom Glavine, who went into the Baseball Hall of Fame last year, earned his 300th career win here in 2007. And while there haven't been as many postseason games here as Cubs fans might like, the Friendly Confines has hosted three All-Star games in 1947, 1962, and most recently in 1990. The ivy that covers the outfield walls here at Wrigley Field was planted by Bill Veeck back in 1937. You see the familiar manually operated scoreboard above the center field bleachers. Atop that scoreboard, the flags fly in order of the standings in each of the National League's three divisions. And after every Cubs game, another flag is raised, a white flag with a blue W after a win, a blue flag with a white L after a Cubs loss. The Cubs win flag tradition began shortly after that scoreboard was constructed back in 1937. You see the iconic Wrigley Field, home of the Chicago Cubs marquee outside the park near the home plate entrance. There's the distinctive brick wall behind home plate and surrounding the infield, and the fans on the rooftops across Waveland Avenue above left field and across Sheffield Avenue up above right field. And you also feel the history when you come into this ballpark. Ernie Banks and Billy Williams, Rick Sutcliffe's Cy Young season in 1984, Andre Dawson and the boys of Zimmer in 1989, that 1989 season, 1 year after the lights were installed at Wrigley Field, the last ballpark in baseball to host a night game. At 101 years old now, the old lady is finally getting a little bit of a facelift, something similar to what the Red Sox ownership financed at Fenway Park in Boston. Nonetheless, Wrigley remains one of the most anticipated stops of the season, and the Marlins will come to pay their respects here this weekend. It's always a fun 3 days when we, in some respects, take a step back in time right here at Wrigley Field. Kyle, back to you.